Good morning, Southside.
Good morning.
I'm excited to introduce our eight-week series starting this morning on worship. We'll spend five Sundays unpacking different ways we worship God on Sunday mornings. And I have two big questions that are driving this series. Why do we do the things that we do in worship? And how can we do them well? And by well, I mean, how can we ensure that in everything we do, that in the preached word, that when someone is reading scripture, when someone is leading a prayer, and when we are participating as a congregation, how can we do it well by glorifying God? And it's the same with sports. People that play sports know that game day is important, but worship also happens outside the assembly, and teams practice. I don't know if I can think of any athletic teams that just get together and play games without having practice during the week. And so worship is not just about Sunday morning. It happens at home when spouses pray together about a tough decision. It happens when parents read scripture with their kids and they sing songs before going to bed. It happens in the break room or on Facebook or at school when you share Christ with a friend. It happens among believers when we open up our homes and when we get to know one another, when we share burdens, when we hold each other accountable, when we lift each other up. So we're going to spend three Sundays also unpacking what it means to cultivate a worshipful life outside of the walls of this church building. So that by the time this series ends, I hope that you'll agree with my paraphrase of Dr. Seuss. Great worship and ham. I will worship in the rain and in the dark and on a train and in a car and in a tree. Worship is so good, you see, and I will worship here and there, say I will praise God anywhere. Never thought you'd say amen to Dr. Seuss. I know that we have some children here, some kids. I want to focus on you by asking this question. Maybe if you're 13 years old or under, what are some of the different ways we worship God on Sunday mornings? What are some of the different ways we worship God? What do we do? What are some of the things that we do on Sunday mornings? I see William is thinking. Say again.
The Lord's Supper.
We take communion together. We do. We partake of the body and blood of Christ together. That is one of the most central things that we do together on a Sunday morning. Great answer. Thank you, Abby. What else do we do on Sunday mornings? We come to church every week and we gather together on Sunday. Why? Because that is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we come together and we sing about it. Another thing that we do is we sing joyful songs to God. What else do we do?
We pray before a meal.
We pray before a meal. Someone gets up and leads us in a prayer. What else happens when we worship?
Fellowship.
Yeah, we talk to one another, get to know one another. What else happens during a worship service?
We give.
Yeah, we're going to have a sermon on giving, what it means to give back to God. What is this strange guy in the pulpit doing right now? Preaching. We gather together to unpack and hear a portion of God's word. And just because you're not preaching or leading singing or offering up a prayer, the congregation has an important role. It is worship to listen. It is worship to sing. It is worship to give. And so we're going to go through those things together. And so I want to issue a challenge specifically to the children of this church. I've heard through the grapevine that someone will make cookies for anyone that can memorize a psalm. Her name rhymes with Schmallison. And her husband's name rhymes with Schmevin. You memorize Psalm 100. It's 5 verses long. You hear you, William, Abby, Michael, Elijah, if you're here. Memorize Psalm 100. You'll get a prize from me, and you may get some cookies from Schmallison Morrill. Let's say that psalm together. If I say the words and get everyone to repeat them together, I want to show you, children of this church, that you can do this, and members as well. This is a good psalm to memorize, a good psalm to make a part of your prayer time, a good psalm to lead you into what it means to worship our God, our awesome God, joyfully, and to give him the praise he deserves. And so repeat after me, church. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness.
Worship the Lord with gladness.
Come before him with joyful songs.
Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who made us.
It is he who made us.
And we are his.
And we are his.
We are his people.
We are his people.
The sheep of his pasture.
The sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
And his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his
name.
For the Lord is good,
and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues
through all generations. Amen. I think you can memorize that. That is an uplifting psalm, and I'm excited to get to unpack that with you this morning as we celebrate our great God in worship. Let's pray together for this series. Awesome, holy God, we come before you in awe of your majesty. Help us, Father, to remember that we are approaching you as we worship. Help us to remember and to sing praises about what you've done for us in Christ Jesus, and the great love that you've showered upon us, even though we were not worthy. Father, we ask that you bless this church and that you would bless this series. Reinvigorate us so that we come to worship, prepared to worship you, invited to the party to celebrate all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. Father, bless us as we delve into a portion of your word. May it be a joyous occasion for all here, and may you gain the glory through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was over 30 years ago that Bill Gaither said this. He said that there is no more divisive issue in the church than the issue of church music. I'm sure you've heard of the worship wars that occur in different churches. There were some people that thought that we should just sing old hymns, hymns in the 1800s, 1900s, and that we should ignore those modern worship songs. There are some people that have done the reverse. We want to just sing modern worship songs and forget about those old hymns because, after all, I don't know what an Ebenezer is. And that balm in Gilead, what is that? Then there is disagreements about whether a church should have a praise team or not, and how to make sure that if there is a praise team, that the praise team doesn't become a performance hindering the participation of the congregation. And then there are the cultural differences among congregations where the same song is sung differently in different churches. There's an example. You might go to one church and sing "What a Fellowship," and it might sound like this. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Might go to another church, and it's slowed down, like you put a record needle and just, and it goes, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. and it continues. Now, is there a right or a wrong way to those songs? I don't think so. Both of those ways are wonderful. Both of those ways are good, but those are cultural differences that sometimes happen in congregations. You go from one church to the other. Songs are sung a bit differently. What do we do with that? Now, the psalm that we read today presents another problem. All this joy in this psalm. But sometimes I don't feel joyful. Sometimes it's difficult to be joyful. And I can imagine someone hearing that the sermon is about celebrating God in song, and their whole past month has been a wave of grief and suffering and loss. And you've got the preacher today hammering home that we want to celebrate God in song and come joyfully. I don't want to come today because I don't feel much joy right now. What do we do with all that? Well, keep those questions in mind. I want to tackle some of those. Here's what I'd like to see happen at this church and every church. We want people to arrive ready to shout about how great our awesome God is. We want people to arrive prepared to praise, to worship. Secondly, and I'm thankful for Cliff here and others that have been assisting in the song service yesterday. We want to keep that up. We want our song service to help us celebrate him. So we want people to arrive ready to celebrate, invited to the party, and then the song service helps us join in and celebrate God. Those are the two things that I hope God continues to work in and on us to accomplish through Psalm 100. And I believe that Psalm 100 can help us in both of these areas. It is a short psalm, only 5 verses. So short that John Calvin, to paraphrase him, said, "Its brevity makes a long sermon unnecessary." Amen. I agree with the first part. Amen back. I'm having fun. Psalm 100, 2 parts. You with me, Elijah? Psalm 100, 2 parts. Verses 1 to 3, why we worship. We worship because of who he is, what he did, and what he does. We're going to unpack that. We worship him because of who he is, what he did, and the important thing, what he's doing right now. Verses 4 and 5. Why we praise. We praise God because of his faithfulness. He's always the same. He never changes. We praise him because of his faithfulness. So Psalm 100, 1 to 3. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him. You know, every time you come to worship, you come before the Lord. We need to remind ourselves of that sometimes. We're not just singing to the air. We are standing before the Lord. And we come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, the emphasis on verses 1 and 2 is the manner in which we come before God. How do I know that? It's because the psalmist repeats 3 times expressions of jubilation. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord how? With gladness. Come before him with what? With joyful songs. You ever heard somebody scream for joy? It is this feeling expressed on December 25th or maybe December 24th if you're one of those parents that caves and lets your children open those gifts early. Don't you do that. Make them wait. Opens up that gift, Elijah, PS5, NBA 2K22. Oh! Oh, man! This is exactly what I want. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is what I've always wanted. This doll. I've been waiting for this doll. Oh! Thank you. It's the feeling the Milwaukee Bucks must have felt after winning the NBA championship in 2021. Oh, they just fall to the floor and they cry and they grip that gold trophy and the sweat is mingled with tears and they're crying because of the joy that they are the champions that season, and it comes out, you can see it. And so I ask you and I ask myself, how long has it been since you felt this type of joy about God? How long has it been since you've come prepared to scream and shout for joy to God with joyful songs? I got some email responses that captured this feeling of joy. I sent out some songs in the sermon synopsis. I got some great responses. Thank you all for sending those. One response, the songs stirred the spirit in me that words just cannot express. Another, the song So Will I made me have tears in my eyes all through the song. I'm tearing up even as I write this. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. God, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Where does this joy come from? This joy comes, first of all, verse 3, from knowing who we worship. We worship the Lord, and he is God. There is no other on the throne. There is no person, no possession, no job, no hobby, no sports team should receive your greatest attention and affection. That spot is meant for God alone. There is a God-sized hole in all of our hearts that can only be filled by him. Nothing should rival him on the throne of our hearts. Person will never have pure and lasting joy until they lay down whatever is most precious to the world and they find satisfaction in God himself. Not in the gifts that God gives, but in God himself. A man can give a woman a wedding ring, and the woman can enjoy the wedding ring, but there's a problem if the woman loves the wedding ring more than the man that gave it to her. You see, we can celebrate God for what he gives to us, but that's not what the psalmist is saying. He says, know that the Lord is God. This is who he is. We celebrate him because he's God and because there's something inside of us that can only be filled by him. And anybody that tries to fill their lives with anything other than God, it's a false joy. It's not a lasting joy. You'll keep on chasing things, but the joy that God fills you with is never ending. And I think one of the beauties in heaven is that we will continue to increase in our joy of God forever. It never ends. The things in life, they end. You get to the point, oh, I got the car. I got the house. Oh, I got the job. You chase the next thing, but the beautiful thing about God is that there is always more of himself to give. And so our joyful response, first of all, comes from knowing that the Lord is God. Secondly, joyful worship is a response to what only God can do. Verse 3, it is he who made us, and we are his. Now, that could be a reference to creation, and it is true that God has made everyone and everybody, but I don't think that's the emphasis in this psalm. I think that the psalmist is emphasizing that God has created a people for himself. We are his people. How do we become his people? It's a gracious act of God. Deuteronomy 7:7 says this: the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. We are God's people. We celebrate and worship the joy that we are his people. How did we become his people? Through a gracious act, a solo act of God that he did all by himself. He didn't look at me and you and say, oh, I really like him. I really love him. I really am just joyful about how he's living his life. She's living his life. No, the Lord looks at us and sees us as needy people. And he says, I want that person. I want you to be my people. And so he does all the work to redeem us. And we celebrate what only God can do by grace. Thirdly, I want to throw out something that is lanyap. We worship God because of who he is. We worship God because of what he did in making us a people. But we also worship God, and this is important, we worship God because of what he continues to do. Verse 3 says that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And so thirdly, joyful worship comes and it flows from a personal experience of God's ongoing care in your life. You see, the imagery of people as sheep in pasture reflects that when you're going through something difficult in your life, God does not leave you out in the pasture. He continues to tend. He continues to guide. He continues to protect. He picks up the sheep and carries them on his back. And when you're not feeling joyful, some of those deep truths are what we need to remind ourselves of in song, so that you know as you grieve and as you hurt, no, the Lord has not left you. You can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Does he refresh your soul? Is he leading you? He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Why don't I fear anything? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with joy. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Joyful worship flows from the personal experience of God's ongoing care. We are his people. He hasn't left us out to dry. He cares, he protects, he guides like a good shepherd. And so just to recap verses 1 to 3, why do we worship God joyfully? We worship God joyfully because of who he is. He is God. Secondly, we worship God because of what he did. He made us his people. Thirdly, we worship God because we experience his ongoing care. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 and 5 tells us why we praise God. Now, I've got an 11-month-old, and when we would play songs for her. You know that song that goes, hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Well, they would get to this part in this song where the people singing would go, praise, what's that? It's the yippee yahoo way to go, God. And then you see Riley, these joyful expressions of praise. One more time. In case you're wondering, that was a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Come before him with... That's what we do when we come before God. We praise him. Our bodies are involved. And that's why many times in the Psalms, it talks about people dancing, people shouting, People clapping. I love that. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. We come before him to praise him. You can use your bodies in a way that is not disorderly. Praise him. Worship him. Stand up and give him praise. Why do we praise him? Verses 4 and 5, we praise God because of his faithfulness. Verse 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, I think we might appreciate that if I replace some of those words so that we can see the opposites. The Lord is evil. He never has compassion. And everything he says is false. If that was true, that would not be a God worth celebrating. You don't want to celebrate a God who does bad things. You want to celebrate a God who is good. And Psalm 100 verses 4 and 5 says that the Lord is good. When is he good? All the time. All the time, God is good. Now, Brother Juan would say, now, what about you? All the time, God is good. There is never a moment in your life where you can say that God is not good. And when you go through some of those things and you're suffering, you're grieving, you're hurting, we need to be reminded that, yes, I'm hurting. Don't deny it. Acknowledge it. But at the same time, remind yourself of those deeper truths. Yes, I'm hurting, but God is still good. And he is still faithful. And he is always merciful. They are new every morning. He is abounding. His steadfast love never fails. Some people's love will fail. You can't say that about God. From the beginning to the end, he's always been the same. He's good. Oh, he decided that he's going to be merciful today. No, he's always merciful. He always looks down and he sees and wants to be compassionate. But he's good, so he's got to be just. But he's merciful. So in the greatest act of God, he sends the Son so that we can be just in him, so that he can still be good and yet he can be merciful at the same time. Lastly, he is always faithful. Some translations say his truth is from forever and ever. His truth is from generation to generation. God has never lied before. His word is always truthful. You may not be able to depend on so-and-so. You may not be able to always trust so-and-so at work. You can always trust God. He is always dependable, always faithful, from the beginning of his promise to Abraham when he said, I will make you a blessing to all nations. God was faithful to his promises. Even when his people rebelled, he was faithful to his promises. He did what he said he would. He sent the Christ. God is faithful, and we praise him because of his ongoing faithfulness. You remember the slogan about energize? It just keeps going and going and going and going and going. It's going to be ahead of me years from now when I need some mercy. It's behind me covering my past. It's presently covering my sins. It's in the future when I need it as well. God's faithfulness, his mercy, and his goodness is ongoing. And that, my brothers and sisters, is something that we can praise God about. And so here's what I hope that this psalm will do. I'm definitely not going to watch myself making those noises later today. I'm sure my wife will replay, be like, oh, look how dumb you look. So the goal is that we should arrive ready to shout. Now, there are going to be times, and now I want to say a word to people that may not be feeling all that joyful, that are not all that, you're just going through some stuff. You know, you've got some stuff going on in your life. You don't feel like being joyful. It's really hard to be joyful. That's okay. Don't leave that outside. Acknowledge it. Bring it in with you. And do the difficult thing, just like you do when you love a person. Spouses don't always feel like loving each other. Y'all know that, right? Did y'all not know that? Mary, you know that? Lou, you know that too, right? Okay. I know that. My wife knows that. We don't always feel like loving each other. Some of you got kids, you don't always feel like loving your kids. You don't always feel like loving them. You do love them. When they say hurtful things, you still love them, but you don't feel like loving them perhaps in the moment. I can't stand you right now. Go to your room. But you still love them. You choose to love them. There is a relationship there that is not erased by the temporary hurt. It's the same way with God. You come in here, you've got griefs, you've got some hurting going on. Acknowledge it. And do the difficult thing at the same time, and that is worship. Joy does not have to be on its own. Joy can coexist with suffering. Paul can say, I rejoice. Even when he's in a prison cell, I can rejoice. And you can do the same thing. It is difficult from time to time, but you can do it. That's one thing, the difficult thing. Do it even when you don't feel like it. Make the effort to try to worship God. And you'll be reminded, I guarantee you, you'll be reminded of those deeper truths that you need to hear in moments like that. That God is good. That God is faithful. That God is merciful. That you are his child. Those are the kind of things that we remind ourselves about. Secondly, John Calvin called the Psalms the anatomy of the soul. There are psalms called Psalms of Lament. There are imprecatory psalms. There are psalms for all occasions. When you feel a certain way, go read a psalm of lament. Learn to voice your anger to God properly by praying those imprecatory psalms. Those are songs. Songs where people express, I am angry. Where are you, God? I need you now, but I can't seem to find you. But in all of those psalms, by the end, it comes back to, yet I will hope in you still, O Lord. And sometimes you need to pray those psalms of lament. Sometimes you need to pray those imprecatory psalms. So that when you get angry on the road and you're driving to Chicago, maybe an imprecatory psalm is a good, you'll catch that if you go watch Bible class. But there are psalms for all occasions. Pray those psalms, pray the laments, pray the imprecatory psalms. There's something else that Psalm 100 helps us do. I think it helps us to prepare and be aided in celebrating God through our psalm service. If you notice in this psalm, the emphasis is not on the individual. The emphasis is on God in his glory. We are whose people? His people. Whose pasture are we in? His pasture. Whose gates are we entering? His gates. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Whose name are we praising? We praise his name. Why are we praising you? We praise you because of his love. We praise him because of his faithfulness. And so when we think about the emphasis of Psalm 100, it helps us remember that when I come in here, the songs are not for me. The songs are for God. I'm not coming to hear songs just that I want to hear. I want to hear songs that glorify him. And any lyrics of any song with lyrics that glorify him, that's a great song. The issue is not, should we sing older songs only, or should we sing contemporary songs only? We should sing both songs if they glorify God, if they are praising his name, if they are about his faithfulness, if they are about his goodness, and if they speak the gospel to our hearts, old, new, I don't care, let's sing it together. We need both genres of songs. And we have different cultures in this church. It'd be nice from time to time, perhaps, if we sung and learned together a Spanish song. Maybe if we had someone signing a song. Maybe if we sang a song slowly, like in some churches. Maybe if we continued to broaden our canon. There are people that are putting in hours of work into the service, doing an excellent job. And I want to thank Cliff. I want to thank others that are assisting in the song service. They are pouring through this hours and hours of their time to assist us in celebrating God in worship. One of the things I also like is when Cliff will help us, when he'll explain certain terms in a song that might be obscure. The Balm of Gilead is important. If you know what it is, you can appreciate the song better. If you know the background of a song, these next two songs are going to help us express our praise to God, and then we sing those songs. I love when Cliff does that. We need a worship team that continues to do things like that so that our worship is reinvigorated, revitalized, and that we are giving God praise. So the emphasis should be on God's glory, first of all. And then that also leads us to evaluate what kind of songs are sung. We need to sing not only songs about God, Christ the Lord is risen today, third person, great song, come boldly, we need those kind of songs. We also need to sing songs where we're speaking directly to God, where it is second person pronouns. I will praise you. I will worship you. You are a faithful God. You are good. So we talk about God, which is important, those charismatic songs, while we declare the gospel to ourselves. But we also need to shift to, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Thirdly, that prompts us to evaluate our own attentiveness in the service and our motives for singing or not singing. Everybody should be singing. If you're able to sing, you should sing. How can we not? What's that?
And shout if you can.
And shout if you can. How can we not shout about this great God? How can we not shout about his goodness? How can we not shout about his mercy? How can we not shout about his faithfulness? How can I not shout that I'm his child? So that prompts us to evaluate our motives in singing. God does not care about the sound coming out. He cares about where the sound comes from. And if it comes from our heart, then that glorifies him. So fourthly, just to reiterate, we need songs that proclaim the gospel and are about God. We need songs that are addressed directly to God. We need songs that preach the gospel to ourselves. Songs with lyrics like this. God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created, the light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 1 billion different ways. Every precious one a child you died to save. And if you gave your life to love them, so will I. My vision for what I hope that this psalm will do is to help us continue to follow through in our song service. Not only so that we come prepared to worship him, but that our song service helps us continue to celebrate him. And here's something specific that I'd like to see. There was a group that got together and did some song singings in the past. That group, through this psalm, should meet together again. Come up with some criteria so that people are on the same page with the song selection. So that we can recruit other people, the next generation, to come in and be on the same page. I'd love to see that happen with communion, with people that want to preach, with people that want to pray, with people that read scripture, so that we are training and equipping the next generation to lead us best in our praise of God. Kevin and Allison did some mission work in Albania, and he has said on more than one occasion, their task was always to be training up the next person to replace them. We will not always be here. We need to train up the next generation so that they know how to best assist us in worshiping God and celebrating God in psalm. And so that's what I would like to see flourishing at Southside, is a group of people that are continuing to invest in the song service. What terms need to be explained? How can we broaden our psalm canon? What lyrics, what songs should we sing? What songs should we not sing? Psalm 100 guides us in that process. If it praises God, if it glorifies him, let's learn it. Let's sing it together. It may be that you are not a child of God today, that you don't know God, that your life is such that you are worshiping everything and anything else but God. You need to respond to that song today. I pray that you will. God has laid down his life for you. He has sent his son to lay down his life for you. He has taken all the sins of the world upon himself. He restores the relationship in Christ if you have faith and you trust in him. If you need to confess him as the Lord of your life today so that all of your life is a celebration of God, I pray that you would do it today as we sing the song that's been prepared for us.